Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Kevin Barrett of the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. You can find his website at mujca.com. That's mujca.com. We've been talking about a whole host of things in the last hour or so. Wanted to take this opportunity to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. They're going to be bringing Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio constituency in the American South in the days ahead. Also wanted to mention that I'm going to be on Michael Collins Piper's show tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can tune that in at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time when Mike and I are going to be kicking around presumably all kinds of ideas that relate to both the Middle East and Iran and Israel, as well as potentially other things that involve American populist right issues that you may want to get in on tonight in the way of conversation. That'll be the Michael Collins Piper Show with Mark Dankos as the guest at 8 p.m. tonight, Central Standard Time. Back to our conversation now with Dr. Kevin Barrett. Kevin, you make reference to the fact in your website that you basically are comprised, you meaning the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth, is comprised of a group of scholars, religious leaders, and activists dedicated to uniting members of the Jewish, Christian, and Islamic faiths in pursuit of 9/11 Truth. As far as these scholars and religious leaders and activists are concerned, in terms of what you can say on the air, who are some of the folks that are most directly involved in what you're doing?
Well, we have a whole lot of big-name Christian theologians, starting with David Griffin, of course, who has published about 25 books of philosophy and other. He's a very good social thinker as well as a theologian. So he was the spearhead here. He was the guy who really brought 9/11 Truth to an academic audience. We also have John Cobb, who is respected as one of the world's leading intellectual Christian theologians. Rosemary Ruther, who is widely considered the world's leading feminist theologian. And we did help put out this book that your listeners might be interested in. It's called 9/11 and the American Empire, Volume 2, Christians, Jews, and Muslims Speak Out. And that book features five Jews, five Christians, and five Muslims. It sounds like a joke. They all walked into a bar and wrote a book on 9/11 Truth.
Yes.
But we've got some pretty big-name people in there, too. We've got Rabbi Michael Lerner, who is considered the leading progressive Jewish intellectual. As I said, he's a good guy. I mean, he's a serious moral voice, and he wrote a terrific essay in this book asking, you know, how are we going to make the world better with 9/11 Truth? When these guys are on trial for treason and mass murder, are we going to just have another Watergate where the system ends up being the same afterwards as it was before, or are we going to make some needed changes in the system thanks to 9/11 Truth? So that's a terrific article. We also have Mark Ellis. He's a leading Jewish anti-Zionist thinker, he's, of course, the Zionists are always giving him a hard time, but, you know, that's because he's so effective. And we have a bunch of interesting Muslims, too. There's myself, of course, as well as Nafis Ahmed. He's a British Pakistani, British Muslim of Pakistani origins, who wrote The War on Truth and The War on Freedom. And both of those books were key 9/11 Truth books. They're the ones that convinced Gore Vidal that 9/11 was an inside job. So we have a lot of great essays in there. And I can tell you more about the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth when we come back.
Excellent. That's exactly where we'll head. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Kevin Barrett of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth when we return. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites Congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Kevin Barrett of the Muslim-Jewish-Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. You can find that website, again, at mujca.com. That's mujca.com. Kevin, we were just getting into some of the particulars of the organization before the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just talking about the book that came out about a month and a half ago, 9/11 in the American Empire, Volume 2, Christians, Jews, and Muslims Speak Out. And as I said, it's got five each of, five Christians, five Jews, and five Muslims talking about 9/11. And there's a range of views expressed. Maybe 10 or 12 of those folks are convinced or leaning towards the inside job hypothesis. And the others are looking at the terrible effects that have come out of 9/11. So that book was one of our projects. Another project we have is we're trying to get DVDs into the hands of ministers and priests and rabbis and imams and what have you at local houses of worship. And we've got the rights to copy and distribute some fantastic 9/11 Truth DVDs, including one by David Griffin, his lecture entitled 9/11 and American Empire, How Should Religious People Respond, was broadcast nationwide in spring of 2005 from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I helped organize that lecture, and we can get that DVD to people who want to distribute it to their local houses of worship. They should just go to the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance, MUJCA.com, and click on Contact Us, and I'll get that, and I'll try and set them up with some DVDs for bulk distribution. So those are two of our big projects, is getting, you know, that book and this DVD distribution. And we also sponsor various events. We recently co-sponsored the Freedom Law School Conference, the Justice and Freedom Conference 2007 in Irvine, California, that took place just last weekend. And I was out there. It was a fantastic event.
Yes, I know that I'm scheduled, I believe it's in June, to be out in California, Southern California, for an event entitled the No More Wars for Israel Conference. I know Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross is scheduled to be there. Michael Collins Piper is going to come. I'm going to be there. I think there are some other really good folks that have already signed up for that. Is this an indication, in conjunction with what you're doing, that we're finally getting through to somebody out there? What do you think?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think more and more people are waking up. In the past, the bad guys often had pretty near complete control of the major media, as they still do. In fact, it's worse now than it ever was. But the difference is that we now have the Internet and the alternative radio networks like this one, rbnlive.com. And with that kind of alternative channel of communication, we can get the word out and you know, tell the truth, and more people can hear it. That's why I'm very concerned about what the bad guys might be thinking of doing to the Internet in the event that they try to really escalate this crazy world war that they're pursuing. Yeah, in any case, people are waking up. And I do think that the new technologies of Internet and DVD copying are really helping. You know, the 9/11 Truth DVDs have really been the main factor, I think, in waking people up. And if your listeners would like to see some of these DVDs and help distribute them, they should go to 911DVDProject.com. That's 911DVDProject.com, where you can get a whole lot of great 9/11 Truth DVDs at cost and distribute them in bulk.
Yes, I'm writing that down. That's 911DVDProject.com.
That's right. It's run by a fantastic guy, a retired physician named Dr. Tom Tweeden, over in Arkansas. And he'll set you up with these DVDs. He'll help subsidize you if you want to buy a burner that can churn out over 100 a day real easily without much effort. And it's just a great way to spread the word. Because when people see things that, you know, it's one thing to tell people that Building 7 was an obvious controlled demolition, and that the overinsured landlord, Larry Silverstein, confessed on national television to demolishing it. It's one thing to tell people that, but to actually have them see the demolition of Building 7, which has been completely blacked out from the major media, and then to have them actually see Silverstein's confession, then they hear that he made, you know, $4 billion-plus on a six-week investment in the World Trade Center, and boom, you know, the light bulbs start going on. So those DVDs are really helpful in getting the truth out in a way that words are perhaps not as effective.
Does the Silverstein connection to this, speaking of Larry Silverstein, who, as I understand it, purchased the buildings, what, 6 months before the attack?
Well, the purchase was finalized only 6 weeks before the attack.
Weeks before the attack, okay. And then, of course, he took out a major insurance policy on these buildings. Your figure is the first one I've heard cited in regard to how much money he actually made on the deal. $4
billion? Well, yeah. He actually took out a $3 billion terrorist insurance policy, and he hardballed the insurance agency to get that. And then he asked for $6 billion. He claimed that there were two separate terrorist attacks. There was one plane, and then there was another plane. That makes two. So we wanted $6 billion, which, again, is a heck of a lot of money on a paltry investment of a couple of million, you know, over 6 months, or 6 weeks, rather. As I understand it, he most recently, the award that he ended up with was $4 billion. I think he originally, the first jury, you know, cut that, you know, gave him only a couple of billion.
Only, yes.
Yeah. And then he went back and appealed, and I think the most recent award is $4 billion plus.
Is the Silverstein connection, first of all, is it similar to the crack in the canvas that occurred when Ruby shot Oswald at the time of the JFK tragedy in 1963. Is it that kind of an angle that we're seeing developing on this? The other thing is the Silverstein connection evidence of the Israeli lobby's involvement in this?
Well, yeah, those are good questions. But the first one is a very, very insightful question. I have to congratulate you on that. The Ruby Oswald event, of course, indicated that something probably went wrong in the JFK assassination that necessitated Ruby cleaning up the mess he'd made. You know, and what that mess was, well, who knows? But probably Oswald was supposed to be, you know, shot trying to escape, or you know, something went wrong, and they ended up with a live Oswald in custody, and he knew too much. And so Ruby was forced to clean up the mess he'd made. Likewise, with Silverstein and 9/11, obviously something went very wrong with their plans for Building 7. Either Building 7 was supposed to come down after another plane hit, or perhaps more likely, in my view, it was supposed to come down under the massive pyroclastic dust cloud from the demolitions of the Twin Towers earlier in the morning. And then nobody would have filmed it, nobody would have noticed it, and they could have come up with something. But instead, for whatever reason, probably it just didn't go off. The wiring maybe wasn't quite right. They weren't ready to take it down when it was supposed to come down. And so they had to take it down in full view of the world at 5:30 p.m. on 9/11. And it was videotaped by many cameras. And that, you know, totally puts a giant hole in the official story just in itself. Now, Silverstein, you know, maybe he's in a position sort of like Jack Ruby, where he's forced to sort of step forward and make himself the fall guy for a mistake that perhaps he was responsible for. That's one hypothesis anyway. And maybe that's why he ended up going on national television and saying that he made the decision to pull, or they made the decision to pull, and they watched the building collapse. For whatever the explanation, this is a gigantic hole in the official story of 9/11 that was torn open by some mistake that the perpetrators made, rather in the same way that something like that must have happened with Oswald in the JFK assassination.
When it comes to Silverstein, and I, of course, am aware of who he is in general terms, and am aware of some of the allegations made that apparently have been proven in regard to this insurance money angle, is there a place online that you would see as a fairly definitive source for getting a really good article on Larry Silverstein and the total context behind who he is and his actions on that day?
Well, actually, I don't have the perfect Larry Silverstein WTC7 source, but there are some pretty good ones up there at whatreallyhappened.com. So if you Google what really happened and Silverstein, and maybe WTC7 or Building 7 or something like that, you just put those search terms in your Google search engine, and you'll get to the various What Really Happened web pages on this issue. And you can watch the collapse, you can watch the confession by Silverstein, and you can look a little bit into his background. And then there's one other aspect to this whole thing that's really important, which is that the World Trade Center, especially the Twin Towers, was a massive money loser for the city of New York, which had bought it from the Rockefellers shortly after it was built in the late 60s. And they were just hemorrhaging money, especially in recent years, because it was it wasn't fitted with the right communications equipment for the modern age. So it had very high vacancy rates. And the steel structure, despite being extremely robust, was covered with asbestos that had to be removed by law. And it was going to cost billions to scrape all that asbestos off. And plus, it was hemorrhaging money every year for the city of New York. So if Larry Silverstein bought it without knowing it was coming down, he was an idiot. And the fact that he's a billionaire real estate investor does not suggest to me that he's an idiot. Seems to me that the destruction of the World Trade Center was kind of a form of urban renewal by other means.
Yes. Man, that's the ultimate Clausewitzian explanation for the whole thing. As far as the Internet goes, Dr. Barrett, you had talked a little bit about the significance of its role in doing an end run around corporate media and disseminating the truth about 9/11. I'd like to talk with you a little bit about what that may portend in regard to Internet freedom in the future. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Kevin Barrett of Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Kevin Barrett. You can find his website at mujca.com. That's mujca.com. And that is the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. Once again, that website is mujca.com. Dr. Barrett, before the break, we were talking, among other things, a little bit about the Internet. I've said before on this show that when I go back into my own biography from more than a quarter of a century ago. When I was in college, I was reading publications like Bill Buckley's National Review and Human Events, the so-called National Conservative Weekly. I believed just about anything that those magazines and newspapers would report, coming from a brand of thinking on the American right that I now, I think, understand better in regard to the context in which those publications developed and their funding and associations and so forth. But the point is, at one time, I pretty much accepted whatever the mainstream publications of the American right said in regard to the national security state, in regard to Israel, in regard to issues of war and peace, and so forth and so on. Now, here all these years later, after many years of activism in the Republican Party, and having been disenchanted with an awful lot over the course of these last 25 or 30 years, I have come to understand, at least partially, I emphasize partially, those things that I never would have considered before. And without question, the Internet has played a major role in exposing me to writers and to thinkers that I would not have had access to in a previous age. Now, if someone of my background can have his thinking completely revised on a whole host of subjects related to the national security state, related to Israel, related to the Middle East, and so forth and so on, does this not suggest the incredible capabilities of the Internet to bring things to the fore where the public is concerned that not only contradict the corporate media line, but corroborate the claims that are made in these contradictions, and that problem that is presented for the political elite in terms of no longer being able to control the information dissemination in the way that they once did, does that problem not suggest that there are going to have to be some serious curbs on Internet freedom if we're involved in a wider war? Do you think that that's the next draconian step we're going to see?
Well, I would think that they would want to do that. The trouble is, I think it's hard for them to try to seriously stop information flow on the Internet, because the way it was designed, ironically by nuclear war strategists, was that the messages sent from one place to another don't have to take any particular route. That's the genius of the Internet system, as opposed to other telephone systems of earlier ages. The messages just find their way by whatever route is open. And that was designed that way because in a nuclear war, perhaps a whole lot of areas would be destroyed. Nodes on the network would be destroyed, but the message would still get through because it would find its way around those nodes automatically. And for that reason, it's very hard for any centralized authority to block messages on the Internet, because the messages just keep finding ways around the blockade. Now, there are techniques that are apparently being developed to try to control the Internet, but I really wonder whether they can use those techniques effectively without slapping down a real martial law kind of police state, and just the way they would shut down the Internet would be barging into your house and holding a gun to your head if you said anything untoward. Short of that, I'm not sure there's a technological fix in the near term, at least, which means that if indeed they try this escalation into Iran and Syria and who knows where else, I think they're still going to have to face opposition on the Internet, unless, of course, they're going to try to send people into our houses. And I'm not sure that there are that many boots on the ground that want to go kicking down people's doors because they're telling the truth about 9/11.
Yes. Do you think that the hate crimes thing will play into this as well?
Well, I'm a little concerned about that. Yeah. The whole hate crimes thing is worrisome in that the way it's used is not honest. I mean, it's worrisome anyway. I mean, they shouldn't be shutting down speech. This is a free country. We have the First Amendment telling us we have the right to free speech. But of course, the way it's been used so often is to demonize people who are speaking out against the powers that be, rather than to protect those people and to go after the people who are picking on the helpless. Classic example now is, of course, we've just got nonstop hate attacks on Arabs and Muslims in the mainstream media. That's about all you get in the mainstream media these days. You can't walk into an airport without hate attacks reminding you of 9/11 and telling you it's an orange alert and so on. We're surrounded by these hate messages, and we don't even think of it any more than the fish thinks about the water it's swimming in. But then if anybody tries to criticize the people who are responsible for this, point out, for example, that the Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff is an Israeli citizen who's making you go through these searches at the airport, then you're the one who's likely to get shut down.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. Back with Dr. Kevin Barrett. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Kevin Barrett of the Muslim Jewish Christian Alliance for 9/11 Truth. You can find that website at mujca.com. That's mujca.com. And I just wanted to remind the listeners as well that I will be on Michael Collins Piper's show tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network. That will start at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dr. Barrett, as far as what we've been chatting about here, we've been speaking a little bit about the Internet and hate crimes legislation, how those kinds of things may conceivably be used by the establishment to shut down both the dissemination of information and any political dissent from the prevailing orthodoxy in regard to what we're doing in the Middle East. You said something earlier on the show about this whole business of the euro. To what extent are these reports about Iran attempting to create an oil bourse that would conduct oil sales and oil-related transactions in the euro as opposed to the dollar. To what extent is that a significant angle? Some would argue, as near as I can tell, the angle in regard to potential Western military action against that country. What do you think?
The Iraq war planning went into high gear when the Iraqi government decided to start selling their oil for food in euros instead of dollars. And, of course, after this invasion and occupation, that Iraqi oil has been forced back into dollars. And now the Iranian government, as you say, is threatening to do the same kind of thing and open up this whole new oil bourse that would sell oil in euros. The euro is constantly rising against the dollar, and if this happens, it could send the dollar into a real free fall, which would end the ability of the masters of the Federal Reserve to dominate the world's economy by turning paper green, which is what they do now. In fact, you know, the U.S. is currently exporting green paper in return for all of the stuff that we use that's manufactured elsewhere. And the rest of the world isn't going to stand for that forever. And so I think these guys are desperately trying to sustain the power of the Fed by going after these countries that threaten the petrodollar hegemony, that is the rule of the petrodollar, which is all about, you know, projecting military power into the countries that produce the energy. So I think that's a big underlying issue. And of course, the other big underlying issue is Israel, and it's linked because, you know, Israel has a pretty solid control over U.S. Mideast policy. That means as long as the U.S. runs that region, they're okay, they're in good shape. And that's one reason that there's kind of a convergence of interest between the current regime, the petrodollar regime, and the Israelis. And of course, there are also other convergences of interest. There's plenty of pro-Zionist financial clout represented among the banks that make up the Federal Reserve.
What do you think are the chances that this thing is going to happen, that there actually will be an American military strike against Iran? Do you think it's 50-50 or less or more?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's maybe better than 50-50 just in the next couple of months or even the next month or a month and a half because, there are certain indications. You know, when you get that whole naval flotilla over there in the Persian Gulf, and just the other day, Israel sent out a warning to its citizens to come home and not travel in this long list of countries, most of them Arab or Muslim countries. And the reason for that, of course, would be that if indeed this war breaks out, then the Israeli citizens would be in jeopardy from the anger of the citizens of these countries. So that suggests to me that the government of Israel thinks that something is coming pretty soon, since they just put out this warning a couple days ago. So unfortunately, I think the odds are up there in the 50-50 range in the near term.
Yeah, I, as one who is not an expert, I agree with that. And I may have mentioned to you before, I don't recall, that I lived in Iran years ago when my parents were stationed over there. And I would travel to Iran in the summers back in the 1970s before the Islamic Revolution to visit my folks. And to me, as I look at this whole thing, I don't think that these neocons, all morality aside, just in terms of tactical considerations, I don't think I have any conception of what a difficult adversary Iran would prove to be if we decided to engage in an assault on their homeland. If that does transpire, however, due to the interests of Israel, due to this whole business of the dollar and its position vis-a-vis the euro in regard to petro transactions and so forth, if all of that coalesces into an American strike, what kind of a military operation do you think we should look for, and what do you think the ramifications are going to be in the Islamic world?
Well, there are a number of these so-called options out there. There's always the possibility of just, you know, letting the Israelis go and drop some bombs, you know, possibly a whole lot of very big bombs. That's one approach, which keeps the U.S. Out of, you know, the worst of hot water with the rest of the world. It would, however, make Israel a pariah. So that's The other option, which I think is more likely, is, as you say, they might plan on trying to send in U.S. troops, in particular, to seize that strip of land on the coast of the Persian Gulf, where most of Iran's oil is. And if indeed that's what's being planned, as I said, it seems like a very, very high-risk move militarily, to say the least, because there are just so many options that the Iranians and their allies, including their many closet allies all over the world, including most of the countries of Europe, France and Germany, for example, the options would be all, they could all dump American currency, which would completely destroy the U.S. economy and send gas up to over $10 a gallon. They could also shut down shipping in the Persian Gulf, at least that's a possibility, which could also send gas over $10 a gallon. They could encircle and cut off the supply lines of the U.S. troops in Baghdad. We've had this so-called surge into Baghdad, just putting more and more U.S. guys into these bases in Baghdad, but they depend on these long supply lines coming up from the south, and that's where the Shia allies of Iran are really strong, and so far they haven't really come after us much. But if Iran is attacked, they will, and they would have a very good chance of cutting off those supply lines and ultimately perhaps completely decimating the U.S. troops in Iraq, a Stalingrad kind of scenario that Webster Tarpley often talks about. So now there are a lot of things that could go wrong with this, and the chances of everything going right would seem to me to be very low, suggesting these neocons are operating on hubris, and perhaps they're just terrified of being exposed as 9/11 criminals, and they're willing to take the whole system down in order to slow down the wheels of justice that are coming after them.
These reports that we've seen in recent days in certain quarters in the media that there are high-ranking American military personnel that are willing to resign significant positions if the Bush administration does attack Iran. Do you place credence in those reports? And also, if there is any credence to be placed in those reports, does it not suggest that within the highest echelons of the American military, that as they watch what's happening in Iraq, that they're highly reluctant to dive into this Iran thing, if for no other reason than it presents insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable obstacles to success given what's already happened in Iraq?
I believe those reports. When Seymour Hersh reports that five U.S. generals say they will resign rather than obey orders to attack Iran, I tend to believe him. Just putting myself in the shoes of a general, I'd resign too. These guys are worried about their place in history, and I would be too if I were them, because their place in history, if this goes as badly as it looks like it might, could end up being hanging from a rope at Nuremberg too. And I don't blame them for not wanting to end up there. It would be, I would like to hear them say they're going to arrest anybody who gives them illegal orders. Because, of course, war is the supreme crime under the Nuremberg rules, and wars of aggression are the ultimate crime. That's the crime the Nazis were all hanged for. So it'd be great if they'd come right out and say they're going to arrest anybody who gives them illegal orders, such as attacking Iran. But I'll settle for that threat to resign. I think that's a really good sign.
As far as Colin Powell goes, his selling of this effort prior to the invasion of March 2003 is now seen by a lot of people as a turning point in his career in regard to his lack of credibility now in virtually anything that he says because of his failure to really stand up to the neocons at that juncture and to say that the intelligence estimates simply were not credible and simply did not support the administration's case for war. Are these guys that Cy Hersh reports now would be willing to get out if we do attack Iran, do you think that they're thinking of Colin Powell as the model for what they don't want to be in the history books?
Well, maybe, although, as I said, I think it could get a lot worse than that. Powell, he's been slimed a little bit, but he's not really in danger of a war crimes tribunal yet. But I think these guys, realize that it really could get bad if this turns into a catastrophic defeat for U.S. forces, which I think is probably the most likely outcome, and gas goes to over $10 a gallon, and the country is, really falls apart and suffers the worst defeat ever in its history, which is a very real possibility. you know, these guys could end up in a lot worse shape than Powell is now. So I think they're actually, you know, they're seeing that, that things could just really, you know, go down the tubes if they stay on this this crazy neocon course. And I think they're right to have those trepidations.
What do your students at UW-Madison think of all of this? Do you sense that there is on the American campuses today the beginnings of the seeds of an anti-war movement that would be reminiscent or even greater than the one that we saw during the Vietnam War?
Well, if they try to institute the draft, I think the campuses could explode. Again, you know, all bets are off if they try another 9/11-style false flag event. Just, you know, who knows how people would react to that. It would be, you know, really crazy, given that 36% of the American people say 9/11 was an inside job and only 16% believe the government. They try it again, you know, you might face that sort of once bitten, twice shy syndrome. In any case, I think the campuses are starting to really wake up. There's a terrific group in Austin called Project for a New American Citizen, a campus group. You can find them on the web at pnacitizen.com, I think it is.
pnacitizen.com. Okay.
That's right. If that doesn't work, try .org, but I'm pretty sure it's pnacitizen.com. And those guys are starting to franchise out. We're going to hopefully have some more of these 9/11 truth groups and patriot groups on campuses springing up in the near future. And if they try to bring back a draft, that certainly will be encouraging these groups to spring up.
Yes, and again, it begs the question as to what the political establishment might do if they felt that a draft was necessary to augment plans that they may have already launched in motion in regard to Iran. And if that's the case, you know, I can well envision a circumstance under which the American college campus scene would explode if you had a reinstitution of military conscription. But it seems to me as well, and maybe I'm misreading this, but living in San Antonio, Texas, which is a military community, I talk to an awful lot of people on the side and off the record who will say things to me in confidence about their own perceptions about what's happening. I suspect, it's just a feeling, that if there is a repristinated anti-war movement this time related to this Middle Eastern situation, that it will have a broader-based political coalition than the anti-war movement did during Vietnam. What do you think?
Oh, I think it already does. In fact, you know, our leading anti-war candidate for president is Ron Paul. It's not some left-wing hippie peacenik. It's Ron Paul, you know, a libertarian, a Republican. And I think the most effective opposition to this insane Middle Eastern venture that we're embarked on now has come from the right, not from the left. But the left is you know, they're there. I'm going to be speaking, actually, to a bunch of sort of leftish anti-war people at Missoula, Montana. They're having an anti-war rally on Sunday, and then I'll be speaking on 9/11 at the University of Montana, Missoula, on Monday. And so I'll be talking to people who are mostly going to be from a liberal bent, as they tend to be in these university towns, but those people actually are really in the rear guard of the current anti-war movement, and certainly the 9/11 truth movement. I think the libertarian right wingers are starting to wake up and smell the fascism. And so I think when both sides can come together, as they will, when the campuses are faced with a draft or as when things get worse, I think we'll see a coalition that could sweep these neocons from power. And personally, I'd sure like to see Ron Paul do well, perhaps even win in his run. I think that would put a lid on the neocon box that would stay on for a while.
Yeah, it seems to me that the Ron Paul candidacy is an evidence that maybe the long dormant Taft wing of the Republican Party is about to rear its head again on these subjects. I certainly hope so. And as I look at the various people that either have gotten into the Republican sweepstakes or will by the end of the year, I see Paul as the only alternative for people on the American right who are truly opposed to big government, truly opposed to this war for empire, and truly opposed to the influence of the Israeli lobby. I think he's the only game in town.
I agree, and I think some people on the left may come over to see the value of a Ron Paul. You know, it's interesting how The people who criticize the private control of our monetary system tend to be identified as people on the right. But if you think about it, people on the left are the ones who are supposed to be critical of big private power, and people on the right are the ones who are supposed to be critical of big government power. So there's kind of a strange paradox where it's actually people on the right who understand that our monetary system is a cartel run by private banking interests that has just outrageous power by virtue of the fact that it creates our entire money system at interest, by lending money at interest, and this money is fiat money that's not backed by anything. And it seems like it's the conservatives who understand this and the left-wingers that don't. So I think there's a huge potential for people on the left to wake up to this misuse of private power in the banking cartel and to see that somebody like Ron Paul is actually making sense in economically as well as at the anti-war level.
Is that an indication that the what has begun as a 9/11 truth movement, what has begun as a movement against Bush's conception of the war on terror, could well osmose into a larger anti-governmental political coalition across the board?
Well, I would certainly hope so. You know, I think the best way to frame this thing is to frame it as a patriotic return to America's real roots in freedom and independence and anti-imperialism.
Ah, yes, the old republic. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Kevin Barrett. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a reminder that I will be on Michael Collins' Piper Show tonight on RBN. You can tune that in at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's Mark Dankoff on the Michael Collins Piper Show tonight on the Republic Broadcasting Network at 8 p.m. And you can again find us at republicbroadcasting.org. And I understand the archives in the not-too-distant future will be reloaded on the site, and all of the various hosts will be going back into those archives and putting up up-to-date show descriptions and URLs to the websites and articles of our respective guests. Dr. Baird, I have in the short few minutes we have left, just a couple of minutes actually, wanted to ask you about Dr. Stephen Jones, the physicist at Brigham Young University, who apparently lost his position for speaking out in terms of what he believed to be the case against the government story on 9/11. On your site at mujca.com, Stephen Jones has an endorsement where he says the following: I believe that all men and women are brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God. I believe that God has given a portion of his light to great religious leaders throughout the world, including Muhammad, Hebrew prophets, Christian apostles, and reformers such as Tinsdale and Joseph Smith. My belief in God as our common Father impels me to search for truth, love, and yes, peace, believing these are divine attributes. Thus, when I learn for myself certain facts regarding what happened on 9/11/2001 and subsequent wars of aggression, I decided to speak out publicly, unquote. What's your evaluation of Dr. Jones' statement there, and can you give us an update on what's going on with him in the wake of leaving Brigham Young?
Sure, but before I do, let me just plug my RBN show, since you plugged yours.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, that's Saturday evenings, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. It's
okay.
Called Truth Jihad Radio, right here on RBNLive.com. And this Saturday I'll have Ralph Umholt, who's a member of Pilots for 9/11 Truth. He's a pilot who's talked about what really happened at the Pentagon, so that should be fun.
And that is that's basically Truth Jihad is the title of the show, Truth Jihad?
It's called Truth Jihad Radio. That's right. It's kind of a joke. I I play up this whole Muslim thing for fun, because I mean, what else can you do?
Yes, and that's every Saturday evening, not just this one, at 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on RBN.
That's right. Thanks.
Good.
And Stephen Jones, he's a good guy. He's had there's been a conflict in Scholars for 9/11 Truth between people who want to be kind of slow and careful and focus on evidence of controlled demolition with explosives, especially thermite, which is Dr. Jones's position, and some people who are interested in entertaining a wider range of hypotheses about aspects of the destruction at the World Trade Center, and that side is led by Jim Fetzer, and I think they're both great guys. Stephen Jones is a fine man. I just spent some time with him at the conference out in Irvine, and yeah, he's from Brigham Young. He did get forced out, although the way he described it was they put him in early retirement, and he said, please don't throw me in the briar patch, meaning he wasn't necessarily all that unhappy with that early retirement that they forced on him. But he now, I guess, has new employment at Utah Valley State College, which is in the same area. In short, he's perfectly happy. So, I try to point this out that, people are, the media is trying to tell you that any professor who questions 9/11 will get, forced out and attacked and so on. And people like Stephen Jones and myself are doing just fine. I wouldn't feel good about myself if I weren't speaking out, and I'm sure Dr. Jones feels the same way. He's continuing to do his very important research on 9/11. He's recently proven that the dust created after the destruction of the World Trade Center was just full of